الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, I very sadly but very importantly I must begin with asking all of you to make a lot of dua for the people of Sri Lanka, for the families of all the people who were killed in the blasts that happened on Easter Sunday. And it's not only Christians who were killed. There were Muslims who were killed. There were others, Buddhists, who were killed. As far as Islam is concerned, it doesn't matter the religion of the person who is murdered. The punishment is the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statement is the same, where in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who kills one innocent person, it is as if he has killed all of humanity. And the one who kills, who saves the life of one innocent person, it is as if he has saved the life of all humanity. Allah did not say the one who kills one innocent Muslim. Allah said one innocent person. Whether that person is a Muslim or a non-Muslim is not a criterion in Islam. All life is sacred. The taking of any life is haram. The Quran, the ayah says, without reason, that refers to the pronouncing of a death sentence by a court of law. It does not mean that you take reason into your own hands and law into your own hands and you decide that somebody should be killed and is fit to be murdered and you murder them. No. So it's a very, very sad thing that happened on Easter Sunday. And even sadder part is that Muslims were involved. It was Muslims who triggered those blasts. We know this now without any ambiguity. And the third thing is that unfortunately but quite understandably, that has set in motion a series of problems that have consumed everybody in Sri Lanka and all of us, especially Muslims all over the world. Today, I don't know how many of you are aware, but today in Jumu'ah in Sri Lanka, there is no Jumu'ah. They have announced, the All Ceylon Jamiatul Ulama, ACJU, which is the apex body of ulama in Sri Lanka, very wisely, and the head of that, Mufti Rizvi Dan Markatum, is a very dear friend of mine, is a very wise and very learned man. They have announced that Jummah should not be held in any masajid. They have told people pray Zuhur at home and do not go to the masjid for Jummah. And all of this because of what Muslims did. I think it is very, very important for us as Muslims to wake up to the fact that there is something very seriously wrong with us. Terrorism and radicalization is not a Muslim preserve. It is not the copyright of Muslims. It is not something that only Muslims do. There is radicalization among people of every religion and people of no religion. There is terrorism, or acts of terrorism have been and continue to be perpetrated by people of all religions and people without religion, meaning atheists and so on, and communists. So when I'm saying this, I'm not beating up myself and beating you up. I'm saying this specifically as far as Muslims are concerned because we are Muslims. What others do or do not do does not dictate to us how we should behave. Others are not our teachers. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our teacher. Did he commit mass murder? No. Did he tell anyone to commit mass murder? No. Did he accept killing without cause from anybody? No. So as far as we Muslims are concerned, it doesn't matter what people of this religion or that religion are doing, because they are not our teachers. We behave and we should behave the way as Muslims because we are Muslims. And that is why I'm saying this. In this context, we are in the process of setting up a working committee to look at factors which influence radicalization. And inshallah, we will start with a small meeting of that, and then a brainstorming session, and then we will go and expand that further inshallah, and you will get information about that. But meanwhile, today, make special dua for the safety and protection of the people of Sri Lanka in general and of the Muslims of Sri Lanka in particular. It was the action of 3 or 4 people. That's it. But what they did destroyed generations of good work, generations of relationships of love and affection and mutual respect between the Muslims and Christians in Sri Lanka. That one action destroyed generations of work. That one action wiped out the good name of Muslims in Sri Lanka, and it gave ammunition and it gave resources to every Islamophobe anywhere in the world to malign Muslims out of hand from every platform. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. I believe that the ACJU has categorically refused to take the bodies of those suicide bombers for janaza. I am very pleased with that. They should be thrown on the garbage dump, which is where they belong. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. One of the primary reasons for radicalization, and when we do our brainstorming session and so on and so forth, we will look at all of these things in detail and we will look at what the solutions are, hopefully. One of the primary reasons is almost a total breakdown of communication between parents and children in our homes, especially in wealthy homes. Especially where children have access to gadgets and children have access to independent transport. I am obviously not going to name people here, but I have been to homes of my closest and dearest friends, some of them related to me. I meet the father or the mother. I say, "Where is your son?" "I don't know. He's gone out." "Where has he gone?" "I don't know. Who has he gone with?" "I don't know." You ask the son, "Is dad at home?" "No, he's not at home." "Where is he?" "I don't know." I mean, is this a home or is it a hotel? People checking in, checking out as they want. There is food because there are servants. There is room service. There is food in the fridge. You tell the servant will give you the food. You eat and you go home. No one knows when you come, where you go, who you are with, what. What is this? This is parenting? Is this parenting? Some serious and very painful questions that we need to ask ourselves as fathers and mothers. Question number one. Am I an inspiration for my son or daughter? Question number two. Am I a role model for my son or daughter? If I ask, and I have done this exercise in country after country because I speak on parenting across the world, one of the first questions I ask people, "How many kids do you have?" Let me ask you this question. How many kids do you have? How many of you have kids? Raise your hands. I can see some smiles on the faces of those who have heard this question before. Kids are the little ones of goats, not human beings. Do you have kids or you have children? Are you raising little goats or are you raising children? Because forgive me for saying that, many of you are raising children as if you were raising little goats. You feed them, you clothe them, you clean their dung. And you make sure they have a dry place to sleep, and you think your job is over. Yes or no? You give them some gadgets. When your baby goat is old enough to drive a car, you give him a license.
You give him a credit card link to yours so he can go fill gas wherever he wants. And you think your job is over. Second question I ask people. I tell them, think of your role model. So I'm asking you this question now. Think of your role model. And don't say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please. Have mercy on yourself and me. Think of your role model, somebody that you know or knew. For how many of you is it apparent? Quick show of hands. 3, 4, 5. Now I don't accept because this is afterthought. Same result anywhere in the world. Less than 10%. What I have this show of hands here, 5 or 6 hands, is not even 10%. It's probably maybe about 2%. But I'm saying less than 10% of people globally have a parent as a role model. What does that mean? It means for 90% of people, the parent, mother or father is not a role model. What does that tell you about your parenting? The child has the maximum face time with you. Even if the child is going to school for 8 hours, you still have 16 hours per day, every single day of the child, as long as he or she is breathing, face time with you, and you are not the role model. Role model is somebody else. My next question. If your children were sitting here, and I know the answer to this question for a lot of your children, believe me, because your children talk to me more than they talk to you, and that's jolly good for you. Make 2 rakat of salah and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day I drop dead, you will understand the meaning of that. If your children were sitting here, and if I ask them, who is your role model? Will your child be thinking of you? Will your child name you or someone else? If your child will name you, and if that is true, all power to you, alhamdulillah. But if you are fooling yourself, believe me, the worst thing in life is to fool yourself. Don't lie to yourself. One of the primary reasons why your children do not see you as role models is, you know what? Two things. How many of you in the last 1 year read one book? I won't ask you to raise your hands because I don't want to shame you in front of everybody else. If you are a parent who does not even read one book a year, you want your child to look up to you for what? Ignorance? The reality is your children are actually better educated than you are. Next point. This incident happened about 20 years ago when I first came back from America and I settled in Hyderabad. I was invited to the home of a very dear friend of mine. And I'm not going to give you any more details because I don't want to spend your waste your time guessing who it was. Because the story I'm about to tell you, believe me, applies to a lot of people here. I was invited to this friend's place for dinner. And of course, usual issue, whenever I'm invited to dinner, I never get food for free. I have to speak. So they said, please give us some nasiha, please give us some advice. As they were settling down, and as I was about to begin my speech, one young boy from that family, who must have been about at that time, maybe about 14 years old or so, he comes to me from behind my back and he whispers in my ear, he says, Yaavar bhai, ye logon ko logon ke zameenana ko khao boliye. Ye logon kon hai, bola sone? उसके खुद के बाबा चिचाया मामुआ सब क्या बोल रहा ये लोगों को बोलिए लोगों के जमीना नको खाओ आई रियली समटाइम्स आई से दिस थिंग्स आई वंडर व्हेदर आई शुड ट्रांसलेट देम एंड स्प्रेड द शेम एवरीवेयर और व्हाट दिस यंग बॉय कम्स टू मी and whispers in my ear, he says, tell these people to stop usurping and swallowing and eating other people's property. Tell them to stop swallowing and eating up other people's land. And who were these people he was talking about? His own parents, his own uncles, his own aunts, his own and so forth, relatives. Now tell me, if this is your conduct and this is what your youngsters think of you, are they going to hold you up as a role model except as a mud eater because you eat land? So just because you're feeding them, it does not mean that you have communication. My next question which I ask people, and this is the last one of them, and I'm saying all of this because every single one thing I'm saying to you is related to the khutbahs that we are doing now, which is the lessons from the seerah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last question I ask people is this. When was the last time you had a conversation with your child? And I'm asking this question. When was the last time that you had a conversation with your child, son or daughter? What's a conversation? Go get this, go get that is not conversation. What did you do in school is not conversation. So when was the last time that you had an actual conversation with your child? My submission to you, my brothers and sisters, is that our relationships with our children have broken down completely. And as I said, those to whom whatever I have said does not apply, all power to you. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. May Allah keep you and your children on that path. But you know and I know, the vast majority of people who are here and who will listen to this khutbah across the world, every single thing which I have said applies to them. And I have asked this question in country after country questions, in country after country, and I have actual evidence to show that these things apply. My only hope is that after asking all of these questions, maybe people have changed. Alhamdulillah, if that is the case, if they haven't changed, it's high time. Now, this is the reason why radicalization happens, and the only time the parents discover that their children are radicalized to the point where they are setting off bombs and murdering people is after the incident has happened, as it happened in the case of Sri Lanka. Imagine the plight of that father and mother. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Seriously, I feel so sorry and so sad for those parents whose children did this thing. What must be the state of that father? They have to live with that until they die. And why does it happen? Because no communication. It's high time we wake up. Being engrossed in our gana parties and our shadis and our clubs is where this has led to. If you want to continue on that, then may Allah protect you and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do what I'm going to say. A day may come when you will find that the news headline has the name of your child on it. And you are facing the consequences of that. Don't fool yourself that it can't happen to you. The people to whom it happened, exact profile matches practically everybody here. Educated, wealthy, influential, living in a high value end of town, beautiful house, cars, jewelry, and this is what they did. We are not talking here about some materially deprived, some madrasa graduate who got radicalized by some mad mullah somewhere. All of those are false models. To the best of my knowledge, and I am saying this loud and clear, I do not know, at least in my country of India, I do not know a single masjid or a single madrasa anywhere in this country where people are being radicalized. I do not know one single imam. I do not know one single alim who is giving speeches or who is radicalizing people and children and telling them to commit murder. Not one single one, to the best of my knowledge, and I know a great deal about this stuff because of the circles that I move in. There is nobody radicalizing Muslim young people and teaching them to commit suicide or a suicide bomb or kill people in this country, in India. I don't know about the rest of the world, but in this country it is not happening. What is happening is a huge amount of radicalization on the internet. And the reason all of this is happening, and the reason they succeed, is because you as parents do not give your children an alternative narrative against which to compare what they hear on the internet. So you've got these people on the internet who are extremely persuasive, who are in some cases great speakers, who trot out within quotes so-called dalail and proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah, all of which are completely quoted out of context or they are totally false. They trot all of these out and the audience does not have the ability to differentiate between right and wrong. And why don't they have this ability? Because you do not give them that ability. You have not created, you have made no effort to create an alternative narrative in your homes. You do not make the effort to learn and you do not make the effort to teach your children what is correct and what is not correct, what is Islam, what is not Islam. And as I said, if you are engaged in corruption, if you are engaged in giving and taking bribes, if you are engaged in usurping other people's land and property and swallowing it, if you are engaged in lies and cheating, if you are engaged in oppressing people and in using your power and authority out of context, what moral authority do you have anyway? Please, my brothers and sisters, wake up. Wake up unless you want to be woken up the way that poor family in Sri Lanka got woken up. Stop fooling yourself that this cannot happen. It can happen and it will happen. Unless we make every effort to ensure that it does not happen. And that can only happen inside your homes. It is what they hear in your homes. And what do they hear? They hear nothing. They don't even see you. They have no conversation with you. There is no narrative. There is no shared time between parents and children. Even where they are bodily present, the father has his face in one mobile phone, the mother has her face in another mobile phone, the child has his face in a third mobile phone, and they're not even sending messages to each other. Maybe that's what you should do, right? You can't talk face to face, though, send messages to each other. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I haven't slept peacefully since that incident happened in Sri Lanka, because Sri Lanka is very dear to me. I have a lot of friends in Sri Lanka. It's a beautiful, beautiful country. I spend a lot of time there. I go into the wildlife areas in Sri Lanka. Those wildlife areas, they are like literally what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described as Jannah. Jannatin tajri min tahti al-anhar. Beautiful forests and birds and lakes everywhere. Inna lillahi wa inna. That country has become now completely shut down, inaccessible. Thanks to what this happened. What these people did. My brothers and sisters, please, please, please. This is not about Sri Lanka. This is about me. This is about you. This is about your children. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed me without children. When I'm gone, it's gone. Khalas. My line will end with me. Alhamdulillah. But Allah has given you children. Understand that responsibility. Don't act like you are bringing up baby goats and puppies or kittens. They're human beings. You have a responsibility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah did not say that the child's Jannah is beneath the feet of the mother because of some geography. That's not a geographical statement. It's because of what the mother represents in terms of mothering. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say that the door of Jannah is the father for nothing. When the father misleads instead of leading towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that father is the door of Jahannam, is not the door of Jannah. And when the mother does not mother, under her feet is mud. There's no Jannah under her feet. Please do something become noteworthy for your children. Become worthy of being role models for your children. Become inspirations for your children.
Now, there's one request that I have for my Sri Lankan Christian brothers and sisters. I want you to consider this, that this action, this very horrible, terrible, heinous action, was done by 4, 5, 6, less than 10 people from the entire population of Sri Lankan Muslims. These Sri Lankan Muslims, the whole population, they are your brothers and sisters, they are your people, you have lived together, you have good relations together for generations. You have never harmed each other. This was done by these few, less than 10 people out of the entire population of Sri Lankan Muslims, people who are, according to us, they have left Islam in the action that they did. Sri Lankan Muslims have rejected them completely to the extent that they have even refused to take back the bodies of those people. Now, what more can they do? The actions of these people were such that even their own parents didn't know that they were going to do this action. So, in that context, if you, Sri Lankan Christian brothers and sisters, if you reject the whole Muslim community, then that would be answering one evil with another evil. That would be Islamophobic, it would be xenophobic, it would be completely illogical, and I definitely don't think that this would be a Christian act in the context of what we understand as Christian kindness, as preached by Isa alayhi salam, by Jesus, who is beloved and honored by the Muslims as well as the Christians. So I would request, and the reason I'm saying this is because somebody told me that when aid was taken to one place by Muslims, the pastor there, he rejected them and said, just go away. We don't want you. We don't want to have anything to do with you. We don't want to see your faces. Just leave. Now that really, really hurt. That really hurt. Because the good people who come to you, if you bracket them with the evil people who did this terribly evil deed, then where must they go? What must they do? Those good people who came to you and will come to you, they are not going to give up, are people who are with you. They are with you. They share your tears. They are as affected. I won't say as affected because you lost your family, but they are as affected as anyone else can be in that situation. And they are people who are as interested, even more interested than you are, in ensuring that this kind of thing never happens. If we, meaning all good people everywhere in the world, irrespective of our different religions, if we want to end terrorism in whatever form it is, then we must work together. Terrorism is not, as I began, terrorism is not some thing that is exclusive to Muslims. I can give you a list of terrorist actions with the people who did them, and you will find people of every religion and no religion. That list is unnecessary because you know the names and you know who is doing what as well as I do. But what is definitely important for us to understand and to respect is that we, meaning those of us who believe in justice, who believe in peace, who believe in mutual harmony, in human rights, in mutual respect, we have to stand together shoulder to shoulder. No matter what happens, we cannot allow these people, these terrorists, people who follow these false ideologies, to drive a wedge between us. If we allow that to happen, then they have succeeded and we have failed. If the Christians and the Muslims of Sri Lanka do not come together as one brotherhood of humanity, who both believe in the same prophet, Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, the way they believe in Isa alayhi salam is different, but they both honor him and they both believe in him. If these two communities do not come together, if hearts are not healed, if they don't come together, then believe me, the terrorists have succeeded. I don't think you want that. And that is my message to my brothers and sisters, my Christian brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith in Muwatta, I have been sent to perfect good character. He is talking about the purpose of his coming on the face of the earth. He said, I have been sent to perfect good character. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith in Tirmidhi and Abu Dawud, nothing weighs heavier in the balance on the day of judgment than good character. And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates that which is wanton and base. Allah hates shameful things. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the believer who has the most perfect faith, he said, the believers who have the most perfect faith are those who have the best character. And the best of them are those who are best to their women. Tirmidhi and Abu Dawud. In this case, women means women. It also means those who are under your control, those who are under your authority. It's taken also in that sense. Rasulullah said, Allah loves the sinner who is beneficial to people more than a pious person who is a miser. Now, this does not mean that we are encouraging you to commit sin. And sinner in this case means somebody who has not done things in huququllah, in terms of ibadat. It does not refer to people who are bad to people. It does not refer to people who have done sins in huququl ibad, because Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah will not forgive the person unless that individual forgives him first. But if somebody is deficient, and all of us are like that, we are deficient in our worship, in our prayers, in our soap, salah, and so on and so forth, but we ensure that we do not harm anybody. We ensure that we are good to people, we help people, we are generous, we are hospitable. We come out in the aid of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah forgive our sins. And this is better than a person who is very particular about his salah and so on and so forth, but is a miser, does not help people and does not do good around himself. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, who served him for 10 years, from the time he was 10 years old to the time he was 20 years old, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, I saw the brightest day in Medina, when Medina became Madinatul Munawwara, the city of brilliance. He said, I saw the brightest day in Medina when Rasulullah ﷺ came, and I saw the darkest day in Medina when Rasulullah ﷺ departed. This Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah ﷺ had the best character of all people. And why does Anas bin Malik have to say that radiallahu anhu? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said it. Innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. And then he says, Anas bin Malik, I served Rasulullah for 10 years and he never once rebuked me. He said, never once did he say, why did you do this or why did you not do that, when I had contravened his instructions. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he is not a believer who eats his fill whilst his neighbor, he did not say whilst the Muslim neighbor, beside him goes hungry. There are many, many ahadith, there are many places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reinforced the importance of akhlaq, where Allah has reinforced the importance of social responsibility. My brothers and sisters, I advise myself and you, the time for sleeping is gone, if ever there was such a time. The time for simply sitting around and doing nothing has gone, if ever there was such a time. The time for waiting somebody else to take action has gone, if ever there was such a time. The question that I ask myself, and I ask you to ask yourself is,
If not now, then when? If not me, then who? This is a famous quote from a rabbi called Hillel, who lived over 2,000 years ago. And it applies today, just like it applied when he said it. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be with you, to protect you, to accept your du'as, to bless you, and to protect all Muslims everywhere, and to protect all innocent people everywhere. Our du'as are with the families of all those who were killed in Sri Lanka. And the stories are so many, I don't even want to begin that chapter here. There's one Danish family who lost 3 children in one go. Out of 4 children, 3. What do you think happens in the hearts of those parents? 3 children gone in one shot. Huh? Killed by Muslims. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. I have no words. I mean, I don't even want to attempt to say anything. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased, and to enable every single one of you to have more calcium in your backbone than in your skull, and to get up and do some work for a change. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.